It's good to welcome you here, especially those who are visiting us for the first time or have been before, but it's good to see you back here. And welcome to those who are on Zoom joining us there and those who are on YouTube live stream. It's good that you can join with us today as we come to seek God and to worship him and to bring our praises to him. We thank God that we can do that through the Lord Jesus Christ as we trust in him and know his presence with us. We're going to begin this morning by just saying together as we sit and as part of our worship to God, the words that Jesus used in teaching his disciples to pray. We know it as the Lord's Prayer. They'll be up on the screen if you don't know it by heart yourself, but we'll say these words together. Are we ready? Okay, well, let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to have a hymn now. Sadly, we're still not supposed to sing here in the building. There's the regulations, but those of you at home can sing along to your heart's content. No one else will be hearing you apart from the Lord. Here we can just hum along as we listen to Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart.
Thou my grace.
I wonder if some of the children are there online. I know there are none here in the building, but hopefully there are some. I can see some parents' names there, and yeah, just getting to see some of the children coming and joining us. I want to speak to the children, but I want to speak to all of us, really, because our theme of today's picking up on part of that song says, "Be thou my wisdom." We have an important question for us all today. I wonder whether you think that you are wise or foolish. So do you think you are wise, someone who is wise, or do you think you are someone who is foolish? I don't suppose many of us would want to say that we're foolish, but what do other people think of us? Maybe what does your parents think of you? What do your teachers think of you? What do your friends think of you? Do they think you're wise or do they think you're foolish? Jesus told a parable. A parable is a story with an important meaning. And Jesus was wanting people to think about whether they really are wise or whether they're foolish. Because actually, most importantly, it's not what our parents think of us, not what our friends or other people think of us, but what does Jesus think about us? Does he think we're wise or does he think we're foolish? Well, Jesus told this story and he'd been teaching his disciples all about a very special day. I don't know whether you have special days that you look forward to come along and you sort of count off the days and you get ready for them. But Jesus was talking about a very special day, a day when he would come back to the world. Because after he was going to die on the cross, he was going to go back to heaven. But he said there's a special day when he is going to come back to the world. And it's a day in the future that's going to affect everybody in the whole world. It's going to affect each one of us on that day that Jesus comes back. But Jesus said that even though we know that that day is going to happen, we don't know when it's going to be. He said there's only one person who knows when that day is going to be, and that's God the Father in heaven. So although we know it's going to happen, we don't know when to expect Jesus to return. In fact, on the day that he returns, Jesus says people will be going about their ordinary daily lives. Some people will perhaps be sleeping. Some people will be going out to work. Some people may be eating and drinking. And some people will be having a very special day of their own. He said some people will be giving in marriage and some people will be getting married. And Jesus went to tell this story about a wedding. And it's a story about a wedding and 10 young ladies, 5 of whom he said were foolish and 5 were wise. And Jesus told this story so that we would listen to it and decide, are we like the wise young women or are we like the foolish young women, particularly as we think about being ready for the return of Jesus. Now, I have to tell you that weddings in Jesus' day and where Jesus lived are very different, or were very different from they are today in our country. On the wedding day, what happened was that the man who was going to get married, he left his home and he went on a journey with his family and friends from his home, or his men friends from his home. And he would go to the home of his bride. And they would go all the way there. And during the day at the home of the bride, they would have the wedding ceremony. So they'd go through all the ceremonies and the things that went along with a wedding in those days. And then at the end of the day, usually around about sunset, when the sun was going down and it was beginning to get dark, all of the people at the bride's house where the wedding ceremony had taken place, so her parents and her friends, and the people who've gone with the bridegroom to be with their at the wedding there, they would set off from the bride's home and they'd go back to the bridegroom's home and they would go in a procession and they'd all be carrying torches or lamps to light the way. It's like a really big celebration as they went back to the bridegroom's house. And at the bridegroom's house, there would be a great feast that had been prepared for them all to enjoy. Well, while the bridegroom was away from his home and going through all the processes of getting married at the bride's house, the women of his own family and people who's in the village where he lived, they would all gather at his house, and they'd be getting everything ready, the great feast, and they get everything ready for the people when they came back. And they would then wait. They would wait there until the procession arrived, and they could welcome the bridegroom back, and they could go out and meet him with their lamps to welcome him back. And then they'd all go in to his home and have this wonderful feast, which could go on for days. Sometimes 7 days they would spend enjoying, celebrating the wedding. Well, in Jesus' story, I've got some pictures here to show you as we think about this. In Jesus' story, he tells us that there were these 10 young ladies who were among the people who gathered at the bridegroom's house. So while the bridegroom was off getting married at his bride's house, these people all gathered at his house. And amongst them were these 10 young women who came to be invited to come and celebrate the wedding with the bridegroom. And so they come and they had their lamps ready because they knew that at the end, when the bridegroom came back, it would be dark and they were to go out and they would go and meet him. And so they all came with their lamps and they were probably very excited all to be taking part in this wonderful celebration. But as sometimes happened, it was a very long time before the bridegroom came back. They had to wait for a long time because perhaps the procession had been delayed. Maybe it was a long way away. Perhaps it was another village where the bride lived, or people, friends on the way had stopped them to have a chat as they were coming back to the bridegroom's house. And they were delayed. It had been a long, hot day. And so these young women and the other people there with them, they began to get drowsy and they fell asleep while they were waiting. So the sun had set and it was getting dark and they were just feeling weary and they fell asleep. But suddenly, at midnight, there was a loud cry. Someone shouted out, "He's coming, he's coming." The procession's on the way. Perhaps they'd spotted at the edge of the village the torchlight coming along the road, and they shouted out, "Look, the bridegroom's coming with all of the people to come and have the feast." So it was time to go out and time to welcome and greet the bridegroom. So these 10 young women, they quickly woke up and they began to get their lamps ready to light them and to go out and to welcome the bridegroom. They had to cut off a bit of the old dead wick and make it nice and clean and get their lamps alight, ready to go out. And so they did that, ready to meet the procession. But 5 of these women hadn't brought any oil with them. They hadn't got any oil to put in their lamps, whether they'd had their lamps alight earlier and it burned up, or whether they just hadn't bothered to check there was any oil in the lamp in the first place. But they hadn't brought any flask with oil to fill up their lamps. So every time they lit the wick of their lamp, it would flare up and bright, but then it would just go out because there was no oil in it. And so they didn't know what to do. So they went to the 5 wise women who had brought flasks with them, and they poured the oil into their flasks, and they lit their lamps, and their lamps were burning bright. They said, "Can you lend us some oil? Can you give us some oil for our lamps so that we can come out with you and greet the bridegroom coming back?" But they said, "No, we haven't got enough. We filled up our lamps, and we can't share any with you because we need them for our lamps to be burning brightly and to welcome everyone." And so they said to these foolish young women, they said, "You need to go and find someone who's selling oil and see if you can buy some oil and put it in your lamps and then come back." Well, it was after midnight, so whether they'd be able to find anyone awake who's going to be able to sell them some oil, I don't know. But anyway, these 5 foolish women, they went off because they hadn't been ready. They hadn't had their lamps prepared, and they went off to try and find some oil. But while they were away, the most important thing happened. The bridegroom arrived with his bride and with all his guests that had come from the wedding and all the other guests who'd gone out to celebrate him. And they went into his house And when they went into the house, they then shut the door behind them. And they probably put a bar across the door because they didn't want anyone gate crashing their big party. And they went in to enjoy the feast that had been prepared. Well, a little later on, the five foolish women had come back. Picture shows that they'd found some oil, but we don't know. It doesn't say whether they found oil or not, but they came back and they saw the door was shut. And so they tried to get in and they cried out to the bridegroom. He said, look, we're here now. We're here. Can you let us in? Can you let us in? And he said, go away. I don't know you. Because he thought, well, everyone who was my friend, who I'd invited to the wedding, who wanted to be here, they would have been ready. They wouldn't have waited until after I'd arrived to go and get me. They would have been ready. They would have come in with me when I arrived. They would be inside already enjoying the celebration. And so the five foolish women were left outside, unable to come in and enjoy the celebration of the wedding. And then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Jesus was saying, we need to be wise, like the young women who were ready, who had oil in their lamp, and they were ready for when the bridegroom arrived, so that they could come in with him when he arrived and be a part of the celebration. Not be foolish, like the five young women who were not ready. Even though they come, even though they may have been invited, they weren't ready. And they weren't allowed in to the celebrations. So we have to ask ourselves, don't we? Are we ready? Are we ready for the day that Jesus will return? Are we ready? Because we're wise and so are ready, rather than being foolish, so that we will be welcomed in. If we're wise to the celebrations when Jesus returns, rather than being shut out like the foolish young women. Well, in a little while, we're going to think a little bit more about, well, how do you get ready? How can anyone be ready for Jesus' return? And what does it mean to be foolish? And what does it mean to be wise? And why is it so important that we should be wise and not be foolish? Well, we're going to hear that story read by Jonathan. He's going to come and read it to us from the Bible as Jesus told it to his disciples.
The reading comes from Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through to 13. Matthew 25, 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour.
Thank you. Well, we're going to have a time of prayer now, as perhaps there are things on your heart this morning that you just want to bring to God in prayer. You can do that in the quiet of your own heart. Just have a few moments of quiet, and then I'm going to just lead us in some prayers for various situations and asking God to be helping us. So let's just be quiet before the Lord and in our own hearts, bring those things that are on our hearts to the Lord that we want to ask him about, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Our Father God, we do thank you that you're a God who has made himself known. You haven't hidden yourself away, but you have given us your word, the Bible. And we thank you that we have it now in our own language, that we can read it and we can hear the message of the Bible taught to us. And we thank you that as we do that, we know the truth that it is you by your Spirit who are speaking today through your word into our lives, making yourself known and telling us the way that is wise to live and the way that is foolish to live. And we thank you that you have made yourself known most clearly in your Son, Jesus Christ, when he came into this world and he revealed what you're like, being the only person who's ever lived a perfect life, but also one who so loved us that he went to the cross and died there in our place. So we, Father, we thank you that we can know that you are a God who loves and cares for those who are who need the grace of God in their lives to be ready for Jesus's return. We pray today that by your Holy Spirit you would help each one of us to hear your word, to know the truth of it, and to know how it applies to our lives, that we would be those who come to Jesus and trust in him and live our lives in repentance and faith so that we are ready for his return. And Father, we want to thank you as we begin a new week and we look back over the past week. We thank you for every evidence of your goodness to us. Thank you that you have provided for our needs. Thank you for the food that we've had to eat, the water that we've had to drink. Thank you for the friends that whose company we've enjoyed, the families. Lord, thank you for all of these good things that we know come from you and so enrich our lives. We thank you too for times when perhaps we've been able to read your Bible and pray to you and just know your presence with us and your forgiveness of us. We do thank you for that forgiveness of sin that you so freely give to those who come to you and ask for it, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we can know your presence with us by your Holy Spirit, day by day, leading and guiding us in all of our lives. We thank you too for being able to have times like this where we can celebrate your goodness. We can have hymns that we can listen to or sing along to at home. We can praise you because you are the God who deserves to be worshipped and praised. And we pray that you would help us to keep on doing that day by day in our lives. And we thank you that you're the God who does hear and answer our prayers. You have concern for people in their every circumstance. We thank you for our sister Parveen and her recovery from the heart operation that she had recently. We pray that she would continue to be strengthened day by day. And Father, we pray for those who are waiting for operations. We pray for Lil and for Trevor, who are so disappointed that their operations that were planned have been postponed. Lord, we pray that they would soon be able to have those operations. And Lord, that Lil's eyes would be healed up and Trevor's hands would be improved, that he'd be able to use them a bit better. Father, we lift these two people up to you and ask that you would just be with them. Give them that patience and that grace that they need as they wait for your these operations to take place. And Father, we pray to and think of those who have been mentioned to us through the week, of friends, of people in the church who have in need of our prayers. We pray for Bridget, who's been in the hospital for this operation on her brain to have a tumour removed. Lord, I understand she was due to come out of hospital yesterday. We pray that would have been the case and that she would know a measure of recovery in your goodness and care. We pray for Matty, who's been unwell, and we pray too for David's friend, Barbara, whose home was burnt down. We just pray for her in her loss. Lord, that you would comfort her. And Lord, for the things that we brought to you in the quiet of our own hearts, Lord, we pray that you would hear those prayers and that you would be gracious to draw near to us and to answer those prayers. And Lord, we do want to thank you that we have evidence of your hearing and answer our prayers. Thank you for the message that Jane sent out about Rowan and his being able to communicate better. Lord, we thank you for that and praise you for it, and pray that he would continue to do well in his schooling and that his communication difficulties would be overcome. And Lord, that he would just enjoy being able to speak with you in prayer and being a part of the fellowship of your people. Lord, continue to hear our prayers for him and for each one in need in our fellowship at this time. So be with us through the rest of this time together. Be with those who are visiting us today. We thank you for them, and we pray your blessing upon their lives too. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have another hymn we can listen to here in the church, and you can sing along to at home. It's "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear." Are you going to go off, are you?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Nice to see you. Do keep in touch. And
we'll come back next week. Yeah.
We'll be
back
tomorrow. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Okay, so what we're thinking about today is, are we wise or foolish? And the big question really is, are you ready? Are you ready? I wonder how often you have said those words to somebody. I can remember the children were younger. Sunday mornings, I'd be pacing up and down the hallway, keep car keys in my hands. Are you ready? Are you ready yet? Are you ready to come to church? Maybe you've had the same experience. Maybe you've been the other way around. You've been at home wanting to go to a friend's party and you're waiting for your parents to get ready to go and take you to that party. Are you ready? How often have you said those words to someone else? Maybe when you've heard those words, you've thought, well, what's the hurry? What's so important? What does it matter if I'm not ready? Well, maybe in life there are some things that it doesn't really matter if we're not ready for. We can get ready later. But the day of the return of Jesus is a day for which it is very important that we are ready. Jesus' parable about the 10 young women waiting for the return of the bridegroom teaches us that it is wise to be ready and it is foolish to be unprepared. It's wise to be ready for Jesus' return. It's foolish to be unprepared. But what does it mean to be ready for Jesus' return? And why is it wise to be ready? Why is it foolish not to be ready? Well, Jesus' parable doesn't actually teach us exactly what it means for us to be ready for the day of his return. But actually, he didn't need to tell his disciples that because he'd been teaching them that all the way through his ministry. And actually, they knew from the Old Testament what it meant to be wise. In the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, we read in chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. To be wise is to have the fear of the Lord, as to know God is the Holy One. To be wise is to know God as he really is, that he is the Holy God, that he will justly and rightly punish our wrongdoing against him as we live the way that we want and not live his way in our lives. He said he will do that on the day that Jesus comes back. He will send Jesus back to be the judge of all the world. But to know God, to fear God, is not just to know God is holy, but it's also to know that God is merciful and loving, and so to love God with all of your heart. He is a God who freely forgives the wrongdoing of those who've lived their lives going their own way, like we all have. He's a God who is able to do that because of Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus had been teaching his disciples through his 3 years of his ministry. When Jesus first appeared on the scene, he says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Yeah, turn from going your own way. Turn back to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near, because the king is here. Jesus is proclaiming himself to be God's king. And he's told people in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 that the wise are those who hear these words of mine and put them into practice. So when Jesus says, repent, he says, if you're wise, that's what you do. You get ready. You turn from going your own way and you come to me, because Jesus called people to come to him as God's king. He says in Matthew 11 verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. What are you weary and burdened by? By our sins. By the consequences of our sins, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, Jesus is God's Savior King. He will come back as the judge. But today he is God's Savior King and Son. He is the one who teaches us how to know God as our Heavenly Father, how to live in fear, a right, loving fear of God. He is the one who brings us into relationship with God as our Father, because he is the one who has opened the way for God to forgive us our sins. When Jesus went to the cross, giving up his perfect life in our place, he died there under the wrath of God, experiencing that wrath in those hours on the cross, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, it was because of our sin, so that we do not have to be forsaken by God anymore, but we can come to Jesus as he calls us to, be forgiven, and so be ready for the day when he comes back as God's judge, but we will know him as our Saviour, and be welcomed to spend eternity with God. Are you ready for the day of Jesus' return, like those wise women who came to the wedding feast prepared? They came with their oil in the flask for their lamps, so that they were there and ready to welcome the bridegroom when he came and could go in with him to the feast. Have you listened to Jesus? Do you know that you need God's forgiveness? Because like me, like everyone else, we've lived our own way rather than living God's way. We need to come to Jesus and find forgiveness for our sins. Maybe today is the day you need to listen to Jesus saying, are you wise? Are you foolish? Are you ready for his return? Or are you still unprepared for that day? The only wise thing to do, the only wise way to live, is to listen to Jesus and to be ready. And to be ready by coming to him in repentance for your sin and trust in what he has done in his death on the cross. We learn from this parable that it's foolish not to be ready for the day of his return, because you can't borrow readiness from anybody else when he comes. It's foolish not to be ready because you can't borrow readiness from anyone else when he comes. Five of the young women who came to greet the bridegroom on his return to his home for the wedding feast, for one reason or another, hadn't bothered to be ready for when the cry went up, the bridegroom's coming, come out and greet him. They didn't take enough oil for their lamps, for the weight, and to be able to fill them and to be able to light them when the bridegroom arrived. I expect if you'd have asked them, they probably had all sorts of excuses why they weren't ready. Why hadn't they bothered to check whether there was enough oil in their lamps? Why hadn't they brought a flask with them? They probably had a dozen excuses of why they weren't ready. It's like that with people today who foolishly hear about Jesus' return, hear about the need to be ready, but they just don't get ready. Some might say, well, I was waiting till I was a little bit older. Yeah. Then I can put my trust in Jesus. When I've lived a bit of life and I understand these things a bit better and I can get my mind around all of these things, then I might think about it. I'll get ready then. Others might say, look, I'm just too busy. I've got qualifications to get. I've got exams to pass. I've got a life to live. I want to have a family. I want to do things in my life before I stop and think about these things, about getting ready. Well, whatever those five young ladies whatever their excuses were. They never got round to getting ready, even though they had time, even though they had time when they could sleep, when they could have gone and got the oil and be ready. They never got round to getting ready. They kept on putting it off. They seemed to think that when the bridegroom came, that they could rely on the readiness of others. Yeah, their five friends, they bought flasks of oil with them. Why do we need to bother? I can rely on them. They're going to be ready. They can help me at that time. And we can all enjoy the bridegroom's return. But that wasn't possible. When the bridegroom returned and the five wise young women got ready, they poured the oil into their lamps and they lit their lamps and they went out to meet him. They couldn't share it with others. It was something very personal to them. It was their lamp, their oil. And they went out and they couldn't share it with others. These five foolish young women couldn't borrow readiness when they needed it. They hadn't bothered to get ready themselves. There wasn't enough oil for them to share in the oil of those who had brought it with them. Now, there are some things we can borrow in life, aren't there? Yeah, if you went out today and you got caught out and there was a sudden shower that might be, and you hadn't taken your umbrella with you, you might have a friend with you who's got their umbrella and you could share their umbrella with them. And you could borrow it from them and you could keep yourself dry that way. It didn't matter you weren't ready. Or perhaps if you have a friend pop round for a cup of tea and you haven't got any milk or you haven't got any sugar, and you could just go and see a friendly neighbour and say, look, can you give me some sugar and some milk? I've got a friend come round and I want to borrow some. And they might quite easily give you some. But Jesus' parable makes very clear that you can't borrow readiness on the day of Jesus' return. You can't borrow it from a friend. You can't think, well, my friend's a Christian, therefore I'll be all right on that day. You can't borrow it from a parent. You can't think, well, my parents are Christians, I'm going to be okay. I can borrow it from them when Jesus returns. You can't borrow it from your son or your daughter if they've become Christians and you haven't listened to them. You can't borrow readiness. It's a very personal thing, getting ready for Jesus. You can't give your readiness to someone else, much as you might like to. You can't do it. They can't borrow it from you. So will you be warned if you're not ready? You won't be able to borrow that readiness from someone else on that day. Now is the time to get ready. Don't delay. Don't leave it until it's too late. Don't be foolish and think you don't need to be ready for the day of Jesus' return because someone you know is ready. You need to repent and trust in Jesus yourself personally to be ready. And now is the day of salvation, because we don't know what day Jesus will return. We don't know when the opportunity will end for us to get ready. And we also see here that it's foolish not to be ready because there is no second chance to get ready. There's no second chance to get ready. Not only can you not borrow it from someone else, there's not any other opportunity to get ready once Jesus returns. I wonder whether you've ever played a game, maybe in your family, and you've lost. And you say, oh, please give me another chance to win. Give me another chance. I can think of many cricketers who, when they've been bowled out first ball, have thought, umpire, please give me another chance. Call a no ball or something. Say I can have another go. I've been in that position myself. Maybe you can think of situations where you said, oh, please, give me another chance. Maybe you've taken an important exam and the marks have come back and you failed. But thankfully, there's another opportunity to take that exam again and get the grade that you need. There's been a second chance. Well, for the return of Jesus, there is no second chance to get ready. The five foolish young women who were unprepared to welcome the bridegroom, when they understood that they couldn't borrow readiness, they couldn't borrow the oil from their friends, their friends said, well, why don't you go and try and find someone you could buy some oil from? I don't know who would be awake at that time of night, but you never know. Sometimes in those days, they stayed open late and they may have been able to buy some oil. They go off to the shop to try and find, they go try and find the oil seller, maybe knock him up and wake him up and try and get some oil for their lamps. I don't know if they actually thought they would find someone, but off they went because they thought they might have a second chance. They might be able to find some oil and come back and be able to come in and join the feast. But while they were away looking for oil, the bridegroom arrived at his home. All those who'd been ready had gone out to meet him with their lamps lit and were able to process with him and all the crowd that had come with him and go right back into his house. And once there, we're told the door is firmly shut. Maybe there was a bar that was put across it so no one could break in and come and spoil the festivities. And so when the five young women come back, they have no second chance to join in. Although they call out to the bridegroom, we're here, we're here now. Remember you gave us some invitations to come, we're here. Let us in. He simply says, I don't know you. If they had really been guests, they would have been ready. They would have had oil in their lamps, ready to be welcomed, to welcome the bridegroom and to come into his home with him and to enjoy the feast. We need to be ready now. We need to be ready now for the day of Jesus' return, because not only will we not be able to borrow readiness from someone else in our family or our friends, when Jesus returns, we won't get a second chance then to go and make ourselves ready or get ready and come back. Because once Jesus comes and welcomes his people in, he won't open the door again. If we're not ready now in this life, there'll be no second chance when Jesus comes to get ready to be welcomed in to his kingdom. Have you heard this message that you need to be ready? If you're not ready, then don't delay. And know that being ready means living a life of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And we need to be doing that now. Not thinking, well, I did that once, but I've drifted away. But be living day by day, ready for Jesus, living in repentance and faith. Whatever we're doing, yeah, whether we're getting married, whether we're eating and drinking, whether we're sleeping, whether we're at work, we are to be living as those who live in repentance and faith in Jesus, because only Jesus has done what is needed for us to be ready, to be welcomed in to his home. If you've been delaying that time where you say, yes, I'm going to trust in Jesus, I'm going to repent of my sin. Why are you delaying? What's your excuse? Well, you know, you can't borrow it from anyone else. Well, you know that there's going to be no second chance. And you don't know the day that you will die, or the day that Jesus will return. If you're not ready then, you never will be. And finally, we see that it's wise. It's wise to be ready. It's foolish not to be ready, because you can't borrow readiness. You can't have a second chance. But it's wise to be ready for the day of Jesus' return, because then you will enjoy all the fullness of the kingdom of God forever. That's why it's wise to be ready, because then you will enjoy the fullness of the kingdom of God forever. In Jesus' story of the 10 young women, we see, just think about what happens to the five who were wise, the ones who were ready, who brought oil for their lamps, ready for the bridegroom's return. Even though they didn't know exactly when it was going to happen, they were still ready. Well, when they hear the cry goes up, the bridegroom's coming, and they wake up, they filled up their lamps with oil, and they went out to welcome him with their lamps lit. And then what happens? The bridegroom arrives with all of the procession, and they all those who were ready, all those who were wise, they all go in to his home where the feast has been prepared. A feast in those days that would go on perhaps for 7 days. The feast has been prepared, and they go in and they enjoy being with the bridegroom, celebrating and feasting. Now, several times in the Old Testament, God speaks of himself as a bridegroom to his people. And in the New Testament, John the Baptist, when speaking about himself, he speaks of himself as the friend of the bridegroom who is coming. And Jesus himself tells a story which he implies that he is the bridegroom. And he's challenged about why his disciples are not fasting when the disciples of the Pharisees and others were fasting. He says, well, when you're with the bridegroom, you feast. You don't fast. And he's pointing to himself as the bridegroom of God's people. And in the last book of the Bible, when it pictures the end time and the return of Jesus and the gathering together of those who have repented and put their trust in him, we see a picture of them being gathered to be with him and to be with God. And it's spoken about as the wedding feast of the Lamb. The wedding feast of the Lamb. It's going to be a time of celebration, a time of plenty, a time of rejoicing, a time of joy, a time of fellowship with God. And more than that, it's going to last forever. You see, the door is going to be barred, and nothing of evil and wrongdoing is going to get in. There's never again going to be any pain or sorrow or sickness and disease. It's going to be a time of blessing. We're in the presence of the tree of life, the healing of the nations forever and ever. And the water, the stream of the river of life that flows out is there for us to drink from forever and ever. And we'll be in the presence of the Son, the Lamb, and of God himself and his glory. And it will be like a wedding feast that goes on forever. A time of joy. A time of peace, a time when we will just be so overwhelmed with the goodness of God. It's those who are not ready who miss out on all of that forever, left on the outside, experiencing no more of the goodness of God, only the evil of their own hearts and the devil. Forever and ever, the wrath of God poured out upon them. Who would be foolish enough to miss out on that day, on eternity with God? It's wise to be ready for the day of Jesus' return in order to enter in to the fullness of joy in the kingdom of God forever. So are you ready? Are you ready? Have you come to Jesus to trust in him, asking him for the forgiveness of your sins, and following him day by day in repentance and faith the rest of your life? If you have, you're wise, not foolish, and you will enjoy the fullness of God's kingdom forever. So today, don't be foolish. Don't go away from here or from switching off your computer being unprepared. Don't think that you can wait a little bit longer. And if the worst comes to the worst, you can borrow readiness from someone else. Or you get a second chance. You won't. Being ready is very personal. It has to happen now. There is no second chance. You'll be left outside of the kingdom of heaven forever, missing out on the blessing and the joy. So be wise. Be ready. Let's pray. Our Father God, we do want to thank you so much today that you're a God who so loves us that you would want to speak this difficult truth into our lives today. You would want to warn us of the need to be wise, to be ready for the return of Jesus, and so to be a part of the coming fullness of the kingdom of heaven. We thank you that in your great love, you have done everything that is needed for us to be ready. It's not that we have to work for it, but Jesus has done it all through living that perfect life that we never live, through giving that life in his death upon the cross. Father, we thank you for giving Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for taking that death that we deserve, so that today we can be ready to be welcomed into heaven, forgiven by God, and we can receive the fullness of joy in the kingdom of heaven forever. Father, we thank you for these things, and we pray for any today who are listening or listening later on the recording. Lord, any who are not yet ready, move by your Spirit, we pray, and your mercy in their hearts and their minds to cause them today to know their need of being ready and to come in the fear of God, to put their trust in Jesus, turning from their sin, so that they will be ready for when Jesus returns. And Father, we pray that you would help us who are ready to want to warn others of the need to be ready, to be wise, and to want to tell others about Jesus and what he has done in doing everything that is needed for people to be ready. Help us by your Spirit, we pray, to be concerned, to know the urgency of this, and so to want to share the good news of Jesus with others, and to speak of his warnings, and to call people to come to him. And Father, we pray that you would be at work, adding people to your church in these days, that they might know the blessing of your mercy and grace and worship you with hearts that are full of thanksgiving and praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a closing song about heaven. Again, you can sing along at home or reflect on your hearts on this song. There is a higher throne, and all this world is now, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come. Thank you. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.